Okay, with me today is Robin Thompson. And Robin Thompson, a little bit about Robin, they call her the rehab queen. She does anywhere from 30 to 50 rehabs a year. And when I first met Robin Thompson, I was actually just starting out real estate investing myself. I had started out buying multifamily properties and had run out of money. And actually, I didn't have any money to start with. I came up with this theory called the chunker theory, where I would go out and buy a single-family property and flip it and buy, use some of the money to live because I had no money, and use the other part of the money for another multifamily property. In doing that, I needed to learn how to buy single-family houses, so I went down to this big convention down in Florida, and there was about 800 people there. And during the convention, this guy did what he called the Parade of Champions, and he put a whole bunch of people up on stage. And they all talked about how in their first year in real estate, they made over $100,000 a year. And I thought, wow, that sounds pretty good, but I was really skeptical. I really didn't believe it. This guy was selling all kinds of books, tapes, and boot camps, and I thought he just wanted me to buy all his books, tapes, and boot camps. So what I did is during the next couple of days, it was a three-day convention, I started pulling these people aside and asking them, you know, different questions one by one, questions that only people that had invested in real estate would know, and questions that people that had rehab houses would know. And I started getting really excited because, you know, it was true. Apparently it was true. They were making this kind of money. They were answering the questions. And more importantly, I started getting more excited because I realized that half these people weren't very bright. And I know that's not a very nice thing to say, but it was true. And among those group of people was Robin Thompson, and that's how we first met. I'm from Massachusetts. She's from Connecticut. I found out what she was in her first year in real estate. We became friends. We've talked back and forth. We've helped each other through numerous different deals. And with me on the line today is Robin Thompson. Robin, welcome to the CD.
Thanks. I appreciate having being on here, I think. But I'm not sure if I was in the not-so-bright segment or the brighter part of the group down there.
I think you were one of the brighter ones.
All right. Just want to make sure that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Make sure it's clear to everybody who listens to this.
Now, the reason I have Robin here and the reason she's the bonus CD on this Real Estate Investors Marketing Toolkit is because Robin's been in the business now for 8 years. She flips anywhere from 40 to 50 single-family houses a year. She's just now also getting into luxury properties, which means she's buying $3 or $4 million properties, tearing them down, and building other ones on top of them. And I wanted her to go through exactly how she got started, the different marketing techniques that she used, so that the people listening could also use the same. So, Robin, to start off, why don't you just tell us about how you get started, and tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, for the students who don't know me, who are listening to this, I got into real estate. It's been a little over 9 years now. And what got me involved in houses is I went to work one day like every other, figuring it was going to be a boring day on the job. They sent us out an email and said they were going to make a major announcement in the corporation. So we all got together that afternoon, and they announced that what they were going to do is downsize the organization from 503 accountants down to 275 by the end of that month. And to be honest with you, Dave, fear ran through my body completely because I had $500 in my checking account, 29 years left on a mortgage on a condo I had bought, had a brand new car with car payments out the wazoo, and a lot of credit card debt. And for the first time in my life financially, I was up against the wall. And if IBM would have left me go, I would have been in big financial trouble real quick. So to make a long story short, I got a part-time job waiting tables at night, waiting for the axe to fall at IBM. And what happened is I came home one night in the middle of the night to find my neighbors moving out. And their condo went into foreclosure shortly after that. And
Were they cut from IBM as well?
No, they weren't. Their grandmother died and left them a house in Tennessee free and clear. And
oh,
they decided
nice.
They didn't need to make house payments for the rest of their life, so they left it. You know, it bothered me a little bit because there I was trying to fight to keep my place and worry that I wasn't going to have a roof over my head, and they just walked away. But the greatest thing is the condo went into foreclosure, and the bank took it back. They put it up for sale shortly after for what we paid for them. You know, all the condos sold in that small complex quick. And so they put it up for $79,000, and it sat there, and it didn't move. And then the bank cut it to 69, and then 59, and to 49, and the 39, and then they decided to have an auction. And I was the highest bidder on that condo at $27,000, even though I paid $80,000 for mine and still owed $67,000 on it.
Wow.
Yeah, so the good thing was I rented it out. It cash flowed for $320 a month, which was my car payment at the time.
Nice.
And I said, wow, this real estate stuff, there's something to it. You know, if I lose my job, at least I'll never lose my car. And I came up with the bright idea to buy 10 little condos like that somehow by scraping money together, waiting tables at night, and whatever extra I could put together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started the real estate career 9 years ago now. Since that point in time, I've went on to do 235 houses since then. Over the last 9 years, it's been pretty busy. Did a lot of small homes, little 1,600 square foot houses that are worth $100,000 when they're all fixed up. Now looking at doing some bigger things, obviously, and not doing so many anymore. Not trying to keep up the 40 or 50 pace and just try to do one great big one a year. And that's what we're proceeding towards in my organization.
Do a great big one and cash a great big check?
Yep. You know, and one of my friends, you know, Frank McKinney, is making several million dollars on each one that he does, and he's done quite a few of those. So learning from him and continuing to learn and continuing to up my income, and believe me, it's long surpassed what I made at IBM, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, so it's been an awesome 9 years. You know, it took a tough turn, and, you know, one thing led to another, and it all worked out in the end.
And I'm sure as the smaller single-family houses continue to roll in, because I know you get your marketing program, just it must run on autopilot by now.
Yep.
That you'll continue to do those $20,000 flips, maybe not as many, but at least you'll do them and cash those checks as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Am I right on that?
I mean, we're not going to stop that organization. I do have a new person in the organization who's taken over a good chunk of that as far as responsibility goes. So, and we'll leave that up to him, and then I'm going to focus on growing the business in the new revenue stream.
Yeah, because as you know, I buy and sell apartment complexes now as well as single-family houses, and people often ask me, you know, Dave, well, why are you still doing the single-family houses? I say, well, it's because I can.
Yeah,
because
I get all my systems in place. It's hard to turn away a $25,000 check that's standing in front of your nose.
That's absolutely right. The $20,000 and $25,000 checks that just keep coming in that make it worth it. Mm-hmm. So why don't you do this? Why don't you tell me exactly what type of houses you specialize in those smaller ones?
Okay, well, my nickname is the Rehab Queen, for those that haven't heard me. And I got named that by a guy named Ron LeGrand because of the fact I focus on houses that are single families, two families, three families, and fours.
Yep.
And all I do is buy, fix, sell to qualified buyers so that I receive 100% of my profits out. I'm not a buy and hold person like you. I get quick cash quickly, and I like that.
Yep.
And so I'm not a big buy and holder, so I'm the short-term flipper, so for quick cash flow. And so that's what I do. I focus mainly on little single-family houses, 1,600 square feet or less,
so
or
like,
two-family houses under $150,000.
Ranch-style houses, or we pretty much rehab anything that comes along?
Well, in Waterbury, Connecticut, where I'm from, the housing stock is old. It was built between 1895 and 1910, so the houses are ancient.
Oh, yeah? Find any good things in the walls?
Actually, I looked at one yesterday. The original antique woodwork and stained glass windows were in this $40,000 boarded-up condemned property, if you can believe it. So there are a lot of really neat antiques from, you know, early on in the early 1900s. But
funny you say stained glass windows, because when I first started buying my threes and six-unit buildings, is the first thing we did is we took out the stained glass windows so the tenants couldn't destroy them. And
oh,
so
absolutely.
We've got a big collection of them.
Oh, that's great. I tell you, from the time that I usually make an offer on a house till the time I get it closed, somebody comes in and vandalizes and takes them. And they actually sell them in Litchfield, Connecticut, to the very wealthy. A lot of the big-time movie stars and stuff buy houses up in Litchfield to restore.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff all makes its way an hour north of us. But just to answer your question, I buy colonials, capes, ranches, and then obviously duplex and triplex. So I'm not really particular on any particular style of house. I try to steer away from the capes if I can because they're very small.
Yep.
But colonial and ranches are one of my favorites.
Tell me about your market. What type of market are you doing business in?
My market, the highest priced house in my city is around $160,000, and that would buy you a 3,200 square foot, five bedroom colonial, three bath. So most of my market is really first time buyers under $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $120,000 house in my city will buy you a 2,000 square foot colonial. And so my market is very depressed here. The city of Waterbury is bankrupt, actually. The last two mayors here have actually ended up in prison, believe it or not, and they've embezzled funds out of the city. So it's a very, very poor, blue-collar city. But in return, there's a lot of first-time buyers who are just looking to get out of the apartment scene and get into their first little house. And so that's the market I deal in. I have done higher houses, $700,000 homes, you know, buy them for three, put $150,000 in them. We have one now on a $350,000 price range that we paid $210,000 for. So we do some of the higher stuff, but for the most part, the entry-level cookie-cutter first-time buyer home, $100,000 and under, is roughly what we try to stay in. Dealing with a lot of folks that have no money for down payment or less than a couple $1,000s down. So we're utilizing a lot of the first-time buyer programs that are out there in the 5-6% interest rate, you know, range. They don't have to come in with very little money. You know, they don't need a lot down.
Right.
But in return, this is their first house, and they don't know anything about getting a mortgage or home ownership. So we have to do some consulting there with them. So, you know, that's high school graduate type of stuff is what we're dealing with.
With that type of financing, you don't need to do lease options.
Mm-mm.
Because you can cash right out.
Well, and the thing of it is, Dave, I want my money now. You and I both know
I hear that.
Becoming, you know, filthy, stinking rich requires that you use your money and other people's money to full growth potential. You know, I can look at a house and say, okay, I can buy it today, get it fixed up, get it sold in the next 4 to 5 months, and make $25,000 now. To me, that's more attractive right now to get the cash going to, you know, generate some money in and to teach students how to do that so that, you know, after they've done 10 or 20 of them, they have $500,000 sitting around. At that point, then they can buy to lease purchase and keep the good properties in the higher appreciation neighborhoods. What I find a lot of students do, some of their mistakes, is they try to do lease purchase stuff early, and then
mm-hmm.
they put a bad tenant in because they don't know the ropes. Next thing you know, they've got a $1,000 mortgage payment to pay with no rental income.
Oh, yeah, tenant screening is key.
Yeah, and you know what? I like to see students get a couple $20,000, $25,000 checks first. Then they have cash in the bank, so if the tenant doesn't pay, it's not a life-threatening episode.
Or get a multi where if a tenant doesn't pay, you still got other tenants.
Right, you got two out of three.
Because you know me, Robin, I'm always pushing those multis.
I know you are.
All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a minute and why don't you, since this is the marketing CD, why don't you explain to us your marketing philosophy?
To attract sellers?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I do things a lot different than most of the other speakers out there and a lot of the other investors. I spent money on marketing, Dave, for realtors up front to feed me deals.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. And that's primarily where I get a good portion of my business now. Just to give you an idea, what I do in year 9 in my business does not look like what I did in year 3. What I determined is about...
Well, before we go into year 9, why don't you tell us how you started out with your marketing and what you did that worked, what you did that didn't work, and how you stumbled along at the beginning.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to do it. Then we can tell them what I spent a little bit of money on that worked well for me. Probably in the year 1, 2, and 3, the most effective piece of marketing I did was flyers. Hmm. I went to a seminar, and they said that they do flyers. And then I also heard that, you know, he did something with the newspaper. Well, I wrote down on my notes that the guru had bought 2,000 houses, put flyers in the paper. So I came back misunderstanding what was said, and I contacted my local newspaper and said, okay, I want to do flyers in the paper. And they said, fine, here's the list of all the zip codes in your city. And if you put 10,000 flyers in the zip codes that you choose, we would do it for $834, and that would be to print them and insert them to the paper. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. That's pretty cheap to hit 10,000 households. So then I came up with the idea, well, a flyer is two-sided. I only needed one side to put this little advertisement in that says, I buy houses. Is your house vacant, empty? Are you in foreclosure? Are you getting divorced? You need to get rid of a home. I can buy it, and I'll handle all the paperwork. So that took up one side. Well, on the other side, I didn't want to leave it blank. So what I did is I went out to a carpet company, a heating company, painting company, termite companies. I went out to a bunch of different businesses and said, hey, how would you like to hit 10,000 households for $400? So I sold a half-page ad to one contractor, and I sold a half-page ad to another.
That's great.
And, yeah, so in return, they took the backside of my neon flyer, and they paid for the whole thing. So all I had to do is coordinate it and help them lay their ads out for effectiveness, and then they would basically pay for the marketing. So I would run 10,000 flyers twice a month in the newspaper. I would put them into the Sunday section, and the newspaper would insert them right into the coupon section of the paper.
Is that your local paper, or
mm-hmm.
that's a big regional?
Well, we only have one in Waterbury, so I guess you'd call it the big regional.
Okay.
So we don't have a little Price Shop or anything like that. Our city's only 106,000, so we only have one.
Oh.
And they would stick it right in with the Kentucky Fried Chicken, Burger King, you know, coupons for the week, and in would go these 10,000 flyers, blanketing the zip code that I chose. And I obviously didn't choose the premium high-end neighborhood in the city. I put it into the working class where there were houses that needed work, and they would distribute the papers. And the other thing is I could also have them put them in the newspapers that are at grocery stores and pick what zip code that I wanted for the grocery stores. And so people that didn't even get them delivered to the home, people who actually picked them up on Sunday at the news or at the grocery store could get them too. And so I ran thousands of flyers for about a year and a half. And it didn't cost me anything other than the time to coordinate it. And I got a lot of really interesting leads and some really good deals out of that newspaper. Plus, it gave me prestige because people got it over and over and over again.
Yep.
And they got it all over, so they were like, wow, you must be covering the whole entire city. It gave me a really big presence.
So you
and
weren't
that
even
worked
paying
out really
for
well.
It, and you were creating an image.